Coming to you live from Rusty Wallace Kia, I-75 at Callahan Drive. It is a Friday. It is the Eric Ainge Show. So, of course, we are here on Callahan Drive. Brian Rice, Eric Ainge, Logan Ward, the birthday boy, back at the Budweiser Studios. Logan, I have to say, I fully planned on getting you a birthday cupcake and bringing it to the studio yesterday afternoon, putting it in the control room for you. But I forgot because I'm a terrible person that only thinks about myself.
Hey, no problem. It's okay. But hey, I appreciate the thought. That's the thought that matters. But I'll tell you what, though. I woke up this morning 23 years old, and
it's your Jordan year.
Yes, and my back hurt.
It only gets worse.
Yeah, apparently.
It only gets worse. Even for all of us that weren't elite-level athletes, that don't crack, pop, and snap every time we move like one Eric Ainge. You crack, pop. At what point did all of your joints start cracking and popping when you got up out of bed in the morning?
When I was 19, post-LSU,
yeah.
And as an 18-year-old, Justin Tuck.
Yeah.
Between Tuck,
yeah.
And the goalpost, I aged 20 years in 6 months.
Are you feeling better today?
Yeah, dude, I feel good.
Good. All right. Good to have you back.
I feel fine.
It was an old...
I wouldn't have been... Listen, I could have done it. I could have come in tomorrow
and
done it.
Absolutely.
We talk for a living, though, and I didn't. I got an hour of sleep, so you're all welcome. I don't know. It actually might have been pretty entertaining, but I don't know. Everyone needs to rest sometimes.
I think the people
this time
of
year is hard sometimes.
I think the people in this time slot have put Jeff Jardigan through enough this week. It was probably best that you didn't. On that note, we take a look at the game plan.
That's true.
Josh Heupel spoke for the final time this week. I feel like I start every Friday that way because, unlike a lot of coaches, Josh Heupel talks on Thursday where there's still some meaningful, reflection on what you've been able to do in practice all week. Could Hendon Hooker be a go for tomorrow? Or is it a ploy?
I think it's a ploy because I've heard the opposite of that. However, I don't really like talking about injuries.
Right.
I have no idea that if he can play and he can play even 90% of his athletic ability to move and run and then let him play. But if it's any less than that.
Well, I have a question for you on that coming up on an injured Hendon Hooker versus a healthy Joe Milton. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. What about the running backs? Is there a different standard for the running backs to be ready to play against Alabama than there is for quarterbacks?
Well, the crappy thing is that we even have to have all these conversations.
Yeah.
Because with every player on our team totally healthy, playing their best football of their lives, we're still not going to win. So,
Nick Saban, I realize but he doesn't do this very much. He does not talk up opponents very much.
No, he doesn't.
He talked up Tennessee at his coaches show this week.
That doesn't surprise me because we actually are playing pretty good football and we present problems for the other team. So when you watch our film, it's not like you just go, oh, yeah, like with what Missouri and some of these other teams are doing, you're like, okay, they're terrible. Our guys are good. They don't have a lot of busts, which is if you're Saban, you're watching us, you're going, they're very well coached, is what you would say for that.
Yeah.
And then they have enough guys that are athletic enough that if they take our chance at the right time, they absolutely we could gash them. We will score points against them.
We don't play a lot of clips on this show from opposing coaches. I have one that I want to play from Nick Saban a little later on in the show because I was surprised at not what he said necessarily, but how it comes across when he says it. The video of it doesn't come across over the radio, but I think you get a good idea listening to the audio. We'll, of course, talk about what our headline will be on Monday coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll have the SEC preview. It is a very, very light schedule in the SEC this week. But we will break down some of those other games as well. Coming up at 11 o'clock is, of course, the world-famous pick segment.
Yay.
Chad and Jake will join us, and we will we'll pick some games. It was not a great week for us last week.
I was going to say, the only few, I can only ever remember, three games, and all three that I remember, I'm pretty sure I got wrong.
It,
I got the Tennessee pick right again.
Shut up, Logan.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say anything witty or funny after that. I'm just telling you just happy birthday, you know.
Yeah, he got the
I'll crush you in every other commercial break for the rest of the day.
He got the Tennessee pick. Jake got the Kentucky pick.
Hmm.
You did nail Auburn, though.
Auburn's not bad, dude. They really are not a bad football team at all.
The rest of it.
Well.
I'm still riding with Pittsburgh.
Are they still winning?
They beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech's terrible.
Pittsburgh.
But they did beat them.
Pittsburgh's back in the pick segment today. You know what the line is with them and Clemson? Take a guess, because I know you haven't seen it.
9.
Which team by 9?
Oh, Clemson. No, it's not. Pittsburgh's favored?
Pittsburgh is a 3.5-point favorite against Clemson.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, when you take I was thinking about this on the way over this morning.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about all the, you know, we think someone's good, and so then when they're not, everyone freaks out, or we think someone's terrible, and then they're pretty good. It's like you overdo it both ways.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about some of the teams, and I was like, yeah, no, Clemson's just bad. Like, it's when you watch a good NFL team, and you're halfway through the year, and they look just like they did to start, when everyone's like, hey, they don't look very good. And then you get halfway through, and you're like, they just aren't very good.
Good teams win, great teams cover. Clemson is 0-6 against the spread this year.
Oh, yuck.
They're 4-2, though, but 0-6 against the spread. They have a quarterback, DJ, I'm not going to say his last name.
Ugalele.
He hasn't thrown for 1,000 yards yet.
No, he's terrible.
They played 6 games.
He's terrible. Well, and so, like, you assume these teams that are really good, that have these recruiting classes, are just going to reload.
And he played really good that game last year when he had to play for Trevor Lawrence when he had the COVID.
Playing Notre Dame, I'm pretty sure it was. And he did. He played good. He also had 2 first-round draft picks at receiver, a first-round draft pick at running back, 3 high-round draft picks at line. They lost all those guys. And you would think Clemson, to my point, well, they just reload. They bring in the next group. They do it Alabama and Georgia. They just do what these teams do. They did not do that. Something happened with their recruiting. They are pedestrian and just pretty good a lot of places. If you watched Clemson and said, well, last year they were this good, so they should be good this year. I mean, maybe on paper, whatever, but they are bad.
Clemson, the reason that sticks out for Clemson is this hasn't happened to them before in the Dabo era. And we put Clemson up in that Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, I mean, Georgia's getting in there, realm where you just don't have a bad season. A bad season is losing a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even in the top 25. Anyway, we'll talk about
all
that
bad. And
more coming up.
But they will not stay bad. This is the first year that Dabo's done this. If it ruins them, I guess, but
you may need to find a different quarterback.
They might need to find a different quarterback and change some coaches up and stuff like that.
But I tend to agree with you. Dabo didn't forget how to coach.
I'm not going to put him in the bust, changed program, headed downhill mode yet.
It just surprises me because of how bad the ACC is.
And it's the first year they've ever done it.
And we'll see what happens this weekend. I do feel a little vindicated because I thought Pittsburgh was a lot better than people thought after Tennessee played them. And so far, they've... You know, I had several people go, that's Pittsburgh team, that's embarrassing for Tennessee, they're going to go 5-7, 4-8. Like, I don't think they are. So, feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
All that and more coming up today on the Eric Haynes Show. That's the game plan that's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street.
42ST.com, located in Maryville, can help you no matter where you're listening right now. If you have a company that you want to grow, the number one thing you have to have is a good online reputation. You got to have good reviews. People are going to read that. Even though it's someone they've never met, if they said, look at a few people say, no, I had a bad experience, these guys are terrible, blah, blah, then that will deter people just right there from maybe wanting to use your business. You need as many of those as you possibly can, as many reviews, Facebook, all that, and then your website has to be clean, built right, simple to follow, and at that point, you can win online. If you win online, you can win with your business, keeping on growing.
By the way, how much does Pittsburgh hate that they lost to Western Michigan? So they are 5-1. They're lost to Western Michigan. If they don't lose that game, they're probably in the top 15.
Oh, I think that they would be. I mean, at this point in time, the teams in the 13-25 mm-hmm. are mostly 2-loss teams.
Yeah, they're 23rd at 5-1, but the losses to Western Michigan.
That was like us last week before we had play and lose. If we would have beat Pitt and we were, what, 5-1?
Yeah.
Well, we'd have been a top 15 team, too.
Here's the thing. If Pittsburgh beats Clemson tomorrow, if, and they're favored, but I'm still, it's Clemson, so I'm going if. They have a Miami team that's dead in the water, a Duke team that isn't very good, a North Carolina team that's greatly underperformed but has a lot of talent.
But, they're not playing good, and that's just, they might as well not have the talent.
They have an off week, then they have Virginia and Syracuse.
They could win all those.
If they win tomorrow, they are finishing 11-1, in my opinion.
They have a really good chance to.
Yeah. And I thought they were good. I didn't think they were nearly that good. But congrats, you get to play in the ACC. We get to play today here at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. Their schedule's not high quality. They are high quality here at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. I-75 and Callahan Drive. Come in, check them out. It's kickoff time here on Callahan Drive. Come and see all the new vehicles on the lot. A lot of places don't have them. Rusty Wallace Kia does. Come and check them out. A great pre-owned selection as well. Right here, Rusty Wallace Kia. It's the Eric Haynes Show. It's on the Sports Animal.
They have so many good deals, and I'll tell you what, and there's always good deals. I'm going to learn what they are here as we go, but when I pulled into park, there's a very full lot out there. You're like, that matters.
It did, especially right now it matters. But here at Rusty Wallace Kia, come and see their experts here. They will treat you right, and you'll even get to meet Jake.
It's a big deal.
It means something to somebody.
It's a big deal.
So they will join us in a little
bit. How about them making T-shirts of Chad and Jake? And I was like, well, if you guys just sold them for cheap, and they're like, well, we're not going to sell them. If anyone wants to wear one, we're going to give it to them. I was like, okay. Yeah, that's probably true.
I said you could probably sell them for charity, but they want to do.
They're just going to give them away.
People in East Tennessee, right?
Here's the deal. I'll wear one. Okay. Yeah. Then
done.
There you go.
Josh Heupel was asked yesterday about Hendon Hooker's status. He had mentioned it a little bit on Wednesday night on Vol Calls. Said he'd got a little bit of work. Still consider him day to day. Yesterday, he was a little more optimistic. He said, quote, Hendon's gotten some work during the course of the week. The other guys have gotten some work. Medically, we'll make a determination where all those guys are at when we get through tomorrow's practice. At the end of the day, our training staff is a decision maker as far as are guys ready to play and compete, or are they not?
This is something that not every coach does. Mm-hmm. Josh Heupel does this, and over the course, and I swear it comes from being a player. You don't have to be a player to be a good coach, obviously. But this part of it comes from that. When he's talking about injuries, players, are they playing, are they not playing, he never discloses what the problem is.
Right.
And he puts it all back on the medical doctors and trainers for the football team. If they're ready to go, if they get cleared to play, of course we'll play them. But he does not say anything about it being his decision. He passes the buck to the training staff and the doctors. And then when Hendon Hooker goes out there or doesn't go out there, no one is saying anything about Heupel or what he should have done. It's the doctors who are impartial. They should be treating it like it's just another player, injuries on paper, what it is, what can they do, what can they not. Could it get worse? Could it not get worse? Does it make them susceptible to have another problem if they try to play with this one? They go through and do all their determining. If they can play, then you know they got cleared by the staff. It totally takes it off of him. And I think that is really smart.
I can tell you from talking to people around the complex, Hendon Hooker has practiced, and he has practiced with the ones. He has not taken, I don't even know that I would say the majority of the number one snaps.
Well, you got to get everybody else ready.
I think there is a good possibility he plays tomorrow. I will not be surprised in any way if he doesn't. He's going on the trip. The thing that helps him versus some of the other injured guys, like if Tyon Evans isn't going, if they don't believe by today, this morning's practice, that Tyon Evans is going to play, he can't go on the trip because you need that spot to take another running back.
How many guys can you bring?
I don't want to give the number because it changed last year, and I don't know if it changed back. It is less than your 85 scholarship guys. I think it's 70.
Okay, I was going to say, but it could be closer. It shouldn't be too crazy with the lack of players we have.
Right.
But still.
But you had to make determinations because when Tennessee went to Missouri,
you didn't have enough guys to take D-back with on the trip. He wasn't even on the trip. For example, just because we're talking running guys.
Yeah.
Josh Heupel said earlier in the week he's going to be on the trip this week. That means you had to leave somebody else that went on the Missouri trip home. So these are little determinations that they have to make at positions other than the quarterback. As you and I talked about the other day, Hendon Hooker is going regardless. He is either going to be Tennessee's starting quarterback or he is going to be Joe Milton's quarterback's coach on Saturday.
Yeah.
100%.
If he doesn't start, he's not playing.
Right.
I remember going on a couple trips when I was hurt in college.
And we talked about the Arkansas trip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was because Coach Fulmer had not said at all during the week if I was going to play or not.
Yep.
And then when you see who's traveling and I'm on the list, then they go, oh, and maybe he really might play.
Yeah.
So I just don't think – I don't think with our quarterbacks – the game plan changes too much.
Sure.
If Milton goes, I don't think it changes too much. And from Saban's standpoint, if Milton's there, they may do a couple more things that they wouldn't do as much to Hooker. But again, again, their game plan will be pretty simple too. It'll be stuff the run and make him throw the ball outside to tight coverage.
He's not as mobile of a quarterback, certainly, as Hendon Hooker, but he does have the ability to pick up some yards himself.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Who is a better quarterback for Tennessee tomorrow? Hendon Hooker without the ability to run or Joe Milton?
Oh, gosh.
Because I think that's, to me, that is the question that has to be answered by this coaching staff, because I think even if he is healthy enough to play quarterback, mm-hmm. he is not going to be healthy enough to run the way he does normally.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say no. My gut reaction would be, well, no, because Hooker's, the whole package of him is what makes him really good. If Matt Corral had a high ankle sprain and could only throw it from the pocket, he would still be worth putting out there, but he wouldn't be a Heisman candidate. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the determination they've got to make tomorrow as well.
Yeah. So I would lean towards, if Hooker can't run, I would lean towards Milton. But here's the thing. Hendon Hooker has done enough, in my opinion, as the coach, to see what he looks like. I may, in my gut, think that Hendon Hooker without the ability to run is not going to be better for us, but he's played so well and he's made such good decisions with the football. I would play him, you know, coming out of the tunnel treatment. You just got your shots and your Toradol and your stuff. You give him a chance and you see what it looks like. And if indeed he can't, if their game plan is forcing him to just stand back there and throw, is he our best option at that point? I don't know. But he's earned the right to find out, in my opinion. Now, if he can't, he can't. You know, like you can tell. I mean, if he can't even put weight on his feet and leg, knees and to throw the ball, he doesn't have a good enough arm to just play one leg in the pocket and throw.
Right.
And so the odds are if he does do that, he will probably end up going to someone else. But I think he's earned it. You know, if you're the ace on the mound and it's game seven and you're a little sore, you're pitching. I mean, and then after an inning or two, if they're like, no, he doesn't have it, you take him out before the game's over. You know, Hooker, he'd get a drive or two. And if he just can't do it, you take him out, you take his pads and his hat from him, and you wrap some ice around whatever, you get him a chair, sit him on the bench, and try to win next week with him.
Let him be the best cheerleader and coach,
you know,
for
but
Milton.
It doesn't matter who they put at quarterback. We are going to have a really, really, really hard time beating Alabama.
For sure.
Yeah, they're like, oh, man, we're not quite as good. We're only, the third-ranked team in the country?
Fourth.
Oh, gosh. Total bust of a season. They're the number four team in the country. And everyone has that. Everyone's kind of like, well, they're not as good as they used to be. Well, yeah, because they lost one game and they're ranked fourth.
Well, I don't think top to bottom they look nearly as dominant as they normally do.
No, but they still, I mean, in the line, like high 20s in this game.
25 to 28, depending on what book you
are. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Like, it's not going to happen. We are not going to beat them. Short of an anthrax outbreak in their hotel or something like that, we are not going to beat them. So the question becomes, if I think Hooker is pretty banged up and it changes him, if you get him ready and you go through the warm-ups and you put him back out there, he is one little weird tackle falling on the ground away. We've talked about it all week. My junior year, If I would not have played against LSU, I would have played against Arkansas. They were not good. They beat us. We would have for sure beat them. We killed them the next year. But I ended up having to miss two games because I was too tough to not try to play. But I was the starter, and I'd earned the right if I could try. He still put me out there. I was one series, and I was on the bench. If that's what it's going to be, then don't play him. You're not playing. It doesn't mean you're playing to lose. If the guy can't run, he's not himself. Put somebody else out there, see what they can do, and make sure you have him for next week. Because a healthy Hendon Hooker, I love our chances against Kentucky.
I do as well.
A hobbled Hooker or not playing because he made it worse, then that becomes a lot different of a football game.
We will come back here to Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville, 656-9900. 866-656-9900 if you want to join us. It's 865 or 866-656-9900 if you want to join us as we come to you live here from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, I-75 Callahan Drive. Come and see their great selection here. They will be here until 8 o'clock tonight, from 9 until 8 tomorrow. Closed on Sunday. Fantastic service department as well. It's the Eric Gaines Show. It's on the Sports Animal.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Thursday night football score last night. The Browns got by the Broncos 17-14. Running back De'Aris Johnson ran for 146 yards and a touchdown. On Rivalry Thursday, Catholic edged out Powell 32-29. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers hammered the Braves 11-2. The Braves still lead that series 3-2. Game 6 coming up on Saturday. NBA scores last night. The Hawks took down the Mavericks 113-87. The Heat took down the Bucks 137-95. In college football, SMU took down Tulane 55-26. FAU all over Charlotte 38-9. Louisiana got by Butch Jones and Arkansas State 28-27. And San Jose State got by UNLV late 27-20. Have a good Friday morning. It's my birthday. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show. Certified Angus Beef Food City, bringing you the EA Show every day of the week at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. It's a football Friday. A lot of stuff going on, a lot to get to.
Absolutely. Tennessee and Alabama tomorrow. We'll hear from Nick Saban coming up to start next hour. I know most people don't want to hear from the opposing coach most of the time. But he had a very interesting response on his Hey Coach show. So we'll roll through that coming up here to start the 10 o'clock hour. 656-9900 and 866-656-9900 if you want to join us. Let's go to the phones and talk to Randall first. Randall, you're on the Eric Ainge Show. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ainge. Good morning, Mr. Bryan.
Greetings.
How are y'all doing?
We are doing terrific.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm doing so good, and any better I couldn't stand it. So, but okay, if Hooker can't go, what are our chances with Milton? I mean, really? Well, I know everybody's got a bad taste of how he finished the game against Ole Miss, but do you think the light bulb comes on and he can actually play?
I don't know.
The kid's got talent.
I don't know how he'll play. He can go out there and call the plays and he makes some good throws. I don't think that he plays a clean enough game for you to win, but like neither does Hooker. Hooker, if he went and had a pretty good day at the office, maybe even a good game, it's not going to be good enough to beat Alabama. They have to make three, they have eight penalties, fumble it twice on, you know, when they're going in to score, and we get Valus Jones Jr. gets a punt return and takes it to the house. Like, you need all those kind of mistakes and points, even with a healthy Hendon Hooker, to beat the number four team in the country, Alabama. They're still really, really good. So, I don't know. Milton, no, I'll just say it. No, he's not good enough to beat Bama, but neither is Hooker and neither is Bailey. So, that's why this is tough. I mean, it really is. I mean, you got all three quarterbacks, and your Heupel's probably going, well, we're not going to beat them with any of these three guys. So what else can we try to create?
Well, you guys have the luxury of living in Tennessee. I live in Alabama, and I've got to deal with the fallout that's going to happen after this ball game. And I'm with you, Eric. I think this is going to be a total blowout. I think we're going to lose, and it's going to be monumental.
I hate that I feel like that, but it is how I feel.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, y'all. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Yep.
All right, then I'm going to have to be the homer that does this. I think it's going to be a lot closer than you think.
I welcome it. But what's your path to feeling like that? Because I've tried. You know, every week I try. And even today, I'll give my keys. If we're going to win, this is what has to happen. How do you get to that point? Think they're going to overlook us?
No. Points per game. Alabama, 45. Tennessee, 39.5. Points allowed per game. Alabama, 20.1. Tennessee, 22.9. Total yards per game, Alabama 482, Tennessee 473. Yards rushing, Alabama 166, Tennessee 249. Rush yards allowed, I'll give you, this is a matchup of their strength against our strength. Alabama 93.3 against Tennessee's 249 average. Rush yards for them, I mentioned 166.4. Rushing defense is Tennessee's strength, 136. I think those numbers are close enough to suggest that Tennessee can play a game that is significantly closer than the 25-point spread. Am I going to pick Tennessee to win? Absolutely not. Am I going to pick Tennessee to cover? I sure am. I look at the stats, and I look at how Alabama has played. Now look at how Tennessee has played. And I understand Hendon Hooker's probably not going to play, and if he does, he is not going to be anywhere near 100%. But when I look at the stats and who those stats came against, I don't look at this and see an Alabama team that is obviously going to run over Tennessee by 4+ scores. Now, they very well could because they're still Alabama. They're still coached by Nick Saban. I think Tennessee presents them enough problems that you can make this a game that is not over by halftime.
I think the thing about Alabama that gets me right now is we average 249 yards a game rushing. Mm-hmm. And that is against some really terrible teams and some pretty good ones. Mm-hmm. The number to me probably is more like 200 ish, you know, against comparable opponents or whatever. But those big run game games against the few good teams we have played, it's with Hendon Hooker out there keeping the ball on the inside zone plays around the edge and scrambling and having 9 carries in the first half for 48 yards, and he slows them down up front because you can't just pin your ears back. He's good enough at throwing it in all of that like you can get him on the play action and you can get him on that stuff. If Hooker doesn't play or he's hobbled with the linemen that we have out, and even if you had healthy Evans and Small, I don't see a path to us running the football like that with Milton or Bailey out there or an injured Hooker. And they do really, really good at stopping the run anyway. It would be a tough day that we could probably have some success if you had all the guys healthy up front on the line, Hooker at quarterback, doing all the stuff we do. I do think we would be able to run the ball on them pretty decent anyway. I mean, they only give up less than 100 yards a game, but they wouldn't do that to us. I mean, we would for sure run the ball better than that. I don't have any confidence with either the backup quarterbacks and a couple linemen out that we're going to have any success at all running the football. And that's the main reason why I struggle with this, because any football team, doesn't matter what age, if you can't run the ball very well, then you got to throw it. There's only two options. And a drop back pass game with Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker, with them having all those guys back in coverage and changing up what they do, I don't see any way we could have success in that. Now, if they can't stop the run or they get a guy banged up or Milton can step up and, you know, like he's not Hendon Hooker, but if they can get to him and say, listen, if the number one, maybe two guys not there, it's T. Martin, 98. Don't even try to find number three. Don't even try to find the check down. If it's there, no, go. And he is fast enough that he can, if he gets clean through the line of scrimmage, he can run and rip off a long one, a 50-yarder against Pitt. He could rip off a 20 or a 30-yarder against Alabama when they're playing man-to-man and they're bringing pressure and he it's not there and he tucks it and goes. At that point in time, we could have some success running the ball. But I don't see how Joe Milton runs the ball so well that it changes what Bama does and it changes up their scheme and the defensive calls they're making. I just don't see how we put enough pressure on their defense to make them uncomfortable.
You're going to have to run the ball. I mean,
you have to.
Here's Tennessee against Power 5 opponents this year. Ran for 136 yards against Pittsburgh. Okay, that's not very good. It's the most yards.
It was also early.
It's the most yards Pittsburgh has given up on the ground this year against a Power 5 team. Tennessee against Florida, 148 rushing yards. Until they gave up a half a mile against LSU last week, that was the most rushing yards Florida had given up by a fairly wide margin this year. They gave up 321 to LSU. Other than that, they've given up 148 to Tennessee, 137 to Kentucky, and 109 to South Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. 458 against Missouri. Okay, Missouri's terrible on defense. Missouri,
especially that game when it's over, when it's 28-0, those stats are a little inflated. But
the 458 is still 110 more yards rushing than they've given up to any other team this year.
Yeah.
South Carolina, Tennessee runs for 247. South Carolina has not given up. They gave up 230 yards to Kentucky. Other than that, they had not given up more than 180 yards rushing in any game this year. So Tennessee beat that by 60. Against Ole Miss, Tennessee runs for 222 yards, which is, which is the most they've given up to any team other than Arkansas. They gave up 350 rushing yards to Arkansas the week before, limited Alabama to 210, limited Louisville to 155. So my point is Tennessee has outperformed every other opponent on the schedule for just about every team that they've played when it comes to running the football. Obviously, Hendon Hooker is a part of that. If he's not a part of that tomorrow, it's going to be more difficult. I look at a 25 to 28 point spread, and I don't see it based on what the numbers tell me. Now, the game isn't played on paper or in numbers. The game is played on a greensward in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where they could come out and do any number of things that will be very unpleasant for Tennessee fans to watch. But
I don't disagree.
You ask for projection. That's how I arrive.
That's fine. I mean, I feel like when you look at what actually has to happen for them to go down there and have a good day running the football.
Yeah.
The first thing you can't do is get behind. If you get behind and you already have going to have a harder time running it than normal and they give up less than 100 yards rushing, and yeah, 100% to 100% with all our boys, I do think we would run the ball significantly better than 100 yards. We would absolutely do it. Without the few players we don't have, though, I have a hard time believing it's going to happen, especially because if they score a couple touchdowns, you know, like we did to people. Listen, we're better than Missouri and South Carolina. We are, for sure. I don't think we're that many points better than them week in and week out. But when you go down 28-0, everyone on the other team quits. And then it gets even more dramatic because you don't quit and you still got the pedal down and you're just gashing them at that point in time. If one of these teams is going to get a decent lead on the other one, it's clearly Bama against us. If they don't let that happen, if the defense plays good enough for it to be a 1-2 score game in the entire first half, then I think you absolutely, with adjustments at halftime, the guys we do have could have a pretty decent day in the second half offensively. But if it is already over when it's halftime and they're up 18, 20, 25 points, if that's what's happening, there's no route to us coming out and just changing what we do and having success. And I think the ultimate thing that I'm worried about is I really like our football team offensively with Hendon Hooker and what they're doing, the understanding they have, the efficiency they have, running the football, giving guys a chance to make plays, drawing them in the dirt. Heupel's good for about 14 points a game. That's true this game too. But if he can't play, it's like phew.
All right, last stat before we have to take a break. Alabama has given up more than 100 yards rushing just once this season. It was to Florida, who I think is the most similar team to Tennessee that they've played. They gave up 246 yards on the ground to the Gators. If you can do it.
Yeah, no, what you're saying makes sense. I just don't think they're going to do it.
I think that's a very fair opinion and a very common opinion to have. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls next as the Hurricane Show returns to Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville on the Esports Animal.
It's a beautiful Friday here, fall day here in East Tennessee. Yes, we got to travel to Tuscaloosa tomorrow.
Well, you and I don't, so we win.
That is true. Charlie Morgan's going. He's a total baller. Taking eight people. Remember that he said that?
Yeah.
You know who else is a total baller?
Who's that?
And this is a novel concept. Just like, hear me out real quick. There's a big football game last night.
Yep.
Rivalry Thursday.
Absolutely.
Catholic and Powell. Jordan Potts out there balling. Powell's got some great players.
Fantastic call by John Wilkerson and Rob Damascus, by the way, as always on the Catholic package.
Yes. Killed it. Now, here's the concept.
Okay.
You have a player on your team, number 7. You're Catholic. He's a freaking monster. His name's Tommy Winton.
He's been a monster since the day he stepped on that campus.
And when it was 10-year-old peewee football around here, I knew he was a D1 player in 3 minutes when he was 10. They go games sometimes, and they don't get him the ball. The offensive coordinator from Greenback is doing a good job. I don't know his name, but I think he's good. He fits over there. They're really doing good. He is not good at just getting the ball in the hands of their best player sometimes. They did last night, and he scored 3 touchdowns.
Including the game winner that was just ridiculous.
He's insane, man.
Just ridiculous.
When you put a game plan together, and I'm really not trying to try. I shouldn't even have said that. That's not what I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to down or to say he's not doing a good job.
I was just saying
when you have a player like that, when you put the ball in their hand at any level, scheme doesn't matter. You got to get them to touch it. If they can get it, they can do the thing you do, you know, the juke, jump, spin, da-da-da. You can do all those moves. You got the ball.
When I have watched them, I think they've tried to take advantage of some mismatches created by how much attention Tommy Winton gets.
I agree with that.
But I'm with you. Sometimes you just say, you know what, I trust my one guy to outplay their three.
When you're in college or pro, you can't do that. But
let's get Todd before we have to get out for this hour. Todd doesn't want to make it hold through the top of the hour. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing? I about fell asleep there.
Don't do that.
No, I'm kidding. I'm too paying attention there, sir. Anyway, my score prediction for the Alabama game, but before I get there, I'll take the keys to win. And this is my prediction. Joe is going to play tomorrow, obviously. We're going to save Hooker for UK, which we should. But Joe is going to connect tomorrow on deep passes, so that will make us more competitive. Vols will execute. Bama will play bad. And it's going to be hard to see Henry on the other side playing against us because I remember – you know, him.
All right, what's
down
your score?
To the goal line.
What's your score? Because we got to get out.
Tennessee 35, Bama 21.
I'll take it. Mm. Hour number 2 is next.